God promises eternal life, that after this life is over and done, that I have a promised home in heaven. But I'm going to tell you, I have promises from God each and every day that I get up. I mean, when the sun comes up and I start talking to the Heavenly Father in prayer, I think about the blessings that He has for us each and every day. And I look around in this world and this time, and I get to seeing and understanding that a lot of the Christians, a lot of people that know they have eternal life, are not claiming the promises of God that He has for each and every one of us. I'm telling you, God said you're to have joy. God says you're to have peace. God says you're to have happiness. God says you're to have a lot of things, and a lot of times we're not claiming all that God says that He gives us. You know, we're Christians. We got a promise from God, not just about eternal life, but I'm telling you about tomorrow. I'm afraid that sometimes we get our view distorted just a little bit, our vision blurred some. And so I want to look over St. Mark, if you'll turn over there with me just for a few minutes. St. Mark chapter 8, and let's talk about Jesus. You know, Jesus walked on this earth, did many miracles. There's a lot of things He did, and He gave us the example that we're to go by in so many cases. So when we start talking about vision and what we see, what we accept, I'm going to tell you that if we're going to accept and receive what God has promised for us, we need a vision of it in our minds to know that God can take care of the situation. We had situations that arose this week in church. People had problems. People had trouble. God took care of them. They've made it here today. Praise the Lord. Let's look at St. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. And He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him and besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when He had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now I want to stop right there. If you'll think about this situation, Jesus dealing with a blind man, he had never saw anything. It had been a dark, black world to him all the time that he had ever lived. And so when they bring him down to Jesus, and I thought about what a privilege we have to bring things down to Jesus even in this day and time. Jesus hadn't changed. You know, Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God has not changed. Jesus has not changed. We have the same privilege today to bring our problems and troubles down to Him as they did that day and time when they brought this blind man down. Now, the blind man couldn't see. He was in darkness. So Jesus touched him, put his hands on him, and spit on his eyes and said, ask him if he saw aught. And he said, I see men as trees walking. Now I want you to think about the distorted vision this man had. He couldn't see clearly. You know, he had a problem. He was seeing. Yes, he might have been satisfied with that. He might have been pleased and said, well, I can see some. I can tell night from day. Now, that's good enough. And I think a lot of times as Christians on this day and time, we think and settle for less than God would have us to have. This man could have settled and said, I can see, I can tell a little bit, I don't see clearly, but I'm going to accept what God has given me. But I want you to know Jesus intended for him to have a clear vision and completely healed, so he touched him again. I want you to think about this second touch of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking about when we need the second touch from Jesus. Maybe the things of this world have distorted our vision, have clouded our view about things. I mean, we're in an ungodly, sinful world around here. If you don't believe it, turn your TV on. Watch the world news tonight and see what they're saying. And when I look around and see the Christians that are accepting less than what God promised them for, it's heartbreaking to me. It disturbs me to think they don't receive all that God said they are due. If you went down to the bank, don't go to Johnny's office, go to a window. But if you went down to the bank and you laid a $100 bill up there and said, I need change for this, they'll do that. And you lay this $100 bill up there and said, I need some change. And so they start counting it out. They say, how do you want it? And I say, well, you know, I'll take it in tens. And they start counting it out, and they count one, two, three, four, five. What have you got entitled coming? You gave them 100. You need 100 out of it, right? And so about the time they count 50, you just reach and grab it and say, that's enough. Well, that's enough. I don't want all of it. I don't need it all, so I'm just going to leave it laying on the table. I'm going to preach to you this morning that there's a lot of Christians leaving a lot of things laying on the table. And I'm going to tell you, you need to reach back and get all that God promised for you. If you're supposed to have 100, get 100. Amen. How many of you would do that? Just walk off. When it got down to 50, just turn and walk off. And this teller's waiting there to give you the rest of it. She's got it in her hand. She's wanting to give you her money or your money. But you've turned and walked off. As Christians today, I'm afraid we're walking off too quick. We're turning our back on what God has laid on the table for us. And I want us to take it all. I'm talking about excited. I'm talking about joyful. I'm talking about fired up in the Lord. You know, it takes sometimes a good song service to get us to raise our hand. I'm going to tell you, I raise mine every morning. There ain't no music playing. The music of the world. I mean, the birds singing, the wind blowing, and these things. And you know, when I start praising God. So let's get into this. And Jesus said, do you see anything? He said, see, men as trees walking, distorted, view clouded by things around him. In verse 25, after that he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And so the second touch from Jesus is sometimes what we need in this Christian life. I'm not talking about salvation, once will do you all you ever need. That'll take care of that. But I'm talking about the Christian life and being able to rejoice and praise God for the blessings He's given us. I'm afraid some of us need the second touch from Jesus, that once again He lays His hand on it. You remember when He touched you the first time, cleansed you from all your sins, promised you eternal life, promised you life in this world, sufficient. And I think about the second touch so many times. I want to close just in a few minutes, but I want to talk about a young man and a lady in St. Luke chapter 15. St. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. St. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? Now, think about the situation. We're talking about a woman, and God put this in there for us to have an example to go by. We're talking about a woman, and she knew how much she had. She had 10 pieces of silver. There's no doubt in that. You can count them. 10 pieces of silver. She knew what she had. She knew the amount and the number that she was supposed to have in her control. And as I think about her situation, you know, I can relate that to today. First of all, you need to know what God has promised you. And guess where you're going to learn about the promises of God? It's going to be at the church. It's going to be under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit, some teacher or some preacher bringing this word to you, sharing it, or it's going to be you reading the Word of God, that you know what you've got. I believe a lot of us are saved, a lot of us bound for heaven. We don't even know what we've got promised in this life, in this situation, in the time. I'm telling you, God promises so many things. And so when she knew what she had, and it talked about if she lost one, what she's going to do. Now here comes decision time. This lady said, I had 10, I lost one. And you know, she can make a decision. Well, I think I'll just go with the 9, I'll be okay. Well, okay, she might get by with 9. You might get by with 9. You might get by with a partial of what God has blessed you with. That's hard to say. But the understanding she had, she said, I'm going to look for what I've lost. Now, on a day of homecoming, You know, a lot of people, we come in and visit. A lot of us are here every week. But I want to tell you, a homecoming is not just about showing up here. It's about coming in and taking something away with you. I hope you go away different and changed than you was when you came in because of God's Word. Not because of what we said or what we've done, but because of the Word of God. Now, she made a decision. She said, I'm not going to be satisfied with just 9 pieces. God gave me 10 and I want all 10 of them. How many of us today as Christians would stand up and say, I want all God gave me. I want every promise that God gave. I want everything delivered unto me. And I'm going to claim that today. And if I don't have it, I'm going to seek till I find it. She said that she had to diligently seek. I guarantee you she moved some things around in her house. You know, it's hard to look under chairs and couches unless you move. And I guarantee you there's some things got moved around in her house that day when she began to look. Somebody go back and close the back door, please. Push it real hard. Or just open it wide and let the Holy Spirit come in one. Praise the Lord, He's done here. But anyway, when she decided, she said, I want all God gave me. Could you truly say today that you want all that God gave you and all that God promised you in your life? Are you settling for less? Have you decided, well, 9's okay? I don't have to find it. I want us to find something here today. And verse 9, and when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. And the excitement and joy began calling people around with her and saying, I found something today. I'm praying to God that you find something here today, that you find that peace that was lost. You find that little bit. Are you as excited today as you was the day you were saved? Most of us say no. What's changed? God didn't change. Jesus didn't change. Guess what changed? We changed. That excitement needs to be in Christian lives. We need to show the world the excitement and the peace and the joy. And verse 10, and likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so we have God's promise and God's word. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons. These illustrations God gives us. You know, I'm so thankful that we got this printed Word of God, that through that and the Holy Spirit we can understand and God's direction for our lives. And he starts talking about a certain man had 2 sons. And it goes farther, and it said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followeth me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Every time I preach this, I think, that sounds like something I'd do. That's like something that I'd do, you know, that I'd want to get out on my own, and I wouldn't want to be under the leadership of a father. And this probably a lot of that was about this. This younger son decided, well, if I stay around here, I've got to be obedient to the father. I've got to be also obedient to my older brother. And I think I'll just light out on my own and see what I can do. And I want you to know, this was his decision that he made. He had the privilege of staying home where he didn't have any problems or any trouble and father taking care of him. But no, he said, I want it on my own. A lot of times we make some very dumb decisions in this life. Christians sometimes just make some bad choices. Been there, done that. Had a lot of them I regretted. But guess what? When you find yourself in that situation, you know, it reads on farther about, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I'm not surprised in this at all. And I want you to understand that when we find ourselves in that position, you evaluate your Christian life today, decide where you're at and what God has promised and God wants you to have when you decide that, and then I want you to think about what it would take to get you back where God would have you to be. God wants you motivated. God wants you excited. God wants you joyful, filled with the Spirit and the power of God at all times. Now, that's what God would have you to be. But what are we? He'll work to clear our vision, that we're not distorted by the things of the world. And if we can't stand up and say, I'm claiming all God gave me. I want every bit of mine, folks. Y'all do what y'all want, but I want everything God gave and everything God promised. And so when he decided that he was in want and he has had a problem, that's one thing in our life. When we decide, okay, I'm not quite where God wants me to be, I want you to know you can go back. Now, we talk about homecoming. You know, a lot of times it's about getting a number in the church, or a lot of times it's about saints of God coming back. But I want to talk to you about the simple things that God puts before us. He gives us choices to make. If we're not where God... Are you an asset to your church? I'm just playing. You know, if they came by and said and evaluated you, if they came by and put you gave you a test and say, we're going to see if you're an asset to the church. Would we be an asset to the church? Will we be able to stand up and say, well, yes, I believe I am, because I'm where God wants me to be. You don't have to be something great or something special. You have to be where God wants you to be. God wanted this young man to experience the out of it, but he wanted him to come back. And I thought about the privilege we have today that you could come back and return to God. Just come on back. I see a commercial on TV sometimes. They say, just come on back home. God is waiting on you. God's got something for you. You know, there's times in life that it sways us, it deters us, it carries us in places that we shouldn't or don't really want to be. But I'm going to tell you, God will bring you back. If you'll ask, God will restore that unto you. You can have your vision cleared. Maybe you're distorted by the things of the world or things of the family. Get your vision cleared up. So as we go through this rest of this service and we sing these songs, I want everybody here to be considering, am I where God wants me to be? Am I having a true homecoming with God today? I'm glad you're here, but it'll be a lot better if you go back and be home with God. Be home with God. You got that fixed, Jake? All right, ladies. He said it's fixed.